Ladies and gentlemen, it's a pleasure to welcome back to the Salier Report Dr. Laura Thompson. As a matter of disclosure, Dr. Thompson is my nutritionist and health coach and has been since 2006. She has joined us on the Salier Report several times. Great Salier Reports on how to build your immune system and how to detox, and those are forever timely. So I would really encourage you to access those as support to what we're going to be talking about today. Our topic is healthcare independence, something that's very important to me. But first, let me tell you about Laura, and then let me tell you why I think it's so important right now that we talk about healthcare independence. Laura is CEO and founder of Vitamin Love. Some of you have worked with her through her prior institute, and she has now closed the institute and started something that really reflects what she's learned and what's in her heart to do, and I think it's a very special service. She is a well-known figure in the holistic health movement. She's a family nutritionist, and she has her PhD in human behavior and nutrition. And I will say this, her knowledge base is extraordinary. You name it, hormones, brain neurotransmitters, metallic balancing, natural food, lymphology, herbology, it goes on, the list goes on and on. She specializes in holistic healthcare. That includes cellular nutrition, food nutritional supplement programs, brain enhancement, nutritional support for healthy digestion, elimination. A lot of people tell you it all starts in the gut. And then family and child teen health programs. She's the author of two books, Our Children Are What Our Children Eat and Smart Food, Smart Families. And her main focus is really helping people become healthcare independent, really taking charge of their health and making sure that they know what they need to sort of navigate the system. She offers nutritional counseling and coaching by phone, and that's how I've worked with her for many years. And she's a consultant for businesses and practitioner offices and all sorts of enterprises, including schools and corporations. You also know her husband, John Rappaport. And I always say John Rappaport saved my life because he introduced me to Laura. Anyway, so I called Laura, and she, as I said, she's done wonderful Salier Reports with us on building your immune system and detoxing. But I am watching an enormous diversity of people's ability to handle the healthcare system. And I'm really, in the financial world, when a broker in the old days would churn your account, you know, we would and waste away your principal. I'm literally seeing couples being churned by the healthcare system and their finances being destroyed. And this is a financial matter. It's really, it's the number one financial problem my clients face. And you can only avoid it by really taking getting intellectual mastery and taking responsibility for your health in a whole new way. And that's why we're going to talk about healthcare independence today, because there's tremendous diversity between people who know how to do that and do it well, and they're very successful and live much longer lives, and people who don't just get completely churned and eaten up financially and also physically by the system. So healthcare independence is important, and I assure you as an investment advisor, there's nothing more critical than your finances, that you achieve it and do a good job at it. And only you can take that responsibility. But Laura has joined us today to talk about that. So Laura, welcome to the Salier Report.
Hi, Catherine. Thank you. I appreciate being here. I love talking to your peeps.
Well, people always say, you know, Salier has the best network, just the best people, and it's true.
Incredible.
So getting the best from holistic and conventional healthcare, I called you up when I decided I wanted to do this, and I was so upset about what I was watching that I just kind of had to until we finally figured out, oh, you know, what I'm talking about is some couples who know how to navigate holistic and conventional healthcare and get the best of both worlds, and others who don't, and the ones who don't are absolutely getting financially destroyed by that ignorance. So you had to talk me down off the walls and sort of help me see what was going on. But I know you are someone who's absolutely emotionally committed to helping people, you know, master their own health issues. So talk to us a little bit about, let's start and define holistic care and then conventional care, and talk about the strengths and weaknesses of both systems so we get a clear picture of sort of the two systems.
Yeah, well, I was looking at definitions, you know, in prepping for this. I mean, I could say something off the cuff, but I thought it would be a good idea to see, you know, what's actually been written. And so in looking at holistic and the definition of that, I mean, most people know it's looking at or taking into consideration healing body, mind, and spirit, the whole person. When I'm looking at definitions of holistic medicine, you get actually a third definition, which is holistic healing body, mind, and spirit, and offering conventional medicine if needed. So I thought that was kind of interesting that there seem to be almost like three categories. It would be just holistic health, and then holistic medicine, and then conventional medicine. So conventional medicine is the medicine that's based on allopathy, which is, you know, to cure or mitigate disease, focusing on the elimination of physical symptoms, you know, and that's not necessarily it's not necessarily looking at the whole person, although it can be. What would you say so far as, you know, to what I just said?
Well, I would say holistically looks at the whole person, but it also, in my experience, it tends more to look also at the person as an electromagnetic and spiritual being. So it's not just looking at you physically. It's looking at you spiritually, it's looking at you emotionally, and it's looking at what some people would call your aura, not just your physical being. So it's a much broader definition.
Yeah, it encompasses that which science can't necessarily validate, which as I've gotten older, or I guess I should say as I've become more experienced,
right.
I've seen how much healing comes from addressing, or not even addressing, from the person's own energy and
right.
ability to accept the healing and change their energy field.
Right.
That is, and that's actually one of the reasons why I've been drawn more to homeopathy over the years. I mean, I still utilize nutritional supplements and, of course, superfoods, and
uh-huh.
but homeopathy, there's nothing in there except energy.
Right.
And it sparks the electromagnetic field and the different workings to, you know, to bring into balance or to bring into focus whatever is out of balance.
Right.
So that's true. That is something that is not necessarily in or part of the conventional medicine umbrella. The other thing that I think that I've noticed over the years, and I actually saw this written too in a comparison of holistic and conventional medicine, that was written by the Academy of Integrative Health and Medicine. And that is that a lot of times you see people who are artistic as holistic healers or holistic doctors or holistic practitioners. There tends to, I think, it attracts people who are artistic in some way or another, whether they know it or not, because there are arts involved in the holistic modalities. Not that there aren't in conventional medicine, because certainly certain aspects of conventional medicine absolutely require an artistic hand or an artistic eye. But I see, and I've been around, I've had a holistic clinic, I've been in holistic clinics, I've seen and worked with so many health practitioners, and I think this is actually one of the things that gives holistic health practitioners a sort of a bad name or a flaky name, and that is that they do tend to be artists, a lot of them,
right,
and not necessarily the best at business. I'm sure you've come into contact with that.
Well, I've seen that in the medical practice too. So, the intervention of government has forced more business-like practices. But if you look at the economics, I would say they're not particularly economic. So,
right.
But you're right. I think the holistic, it seems to attract both more creative, but it also attracts people who've worked in conventional medicine and become dissatisfied. So, it's a combination of the very creative and the very experienced is what I run into. Yeah. So one of the things I would describe is conventional often tries to solve things with more power and force and intervention than you need to. And it's one of its attractions to people, because I think, if you want a quick solution, conventional medicine often offers something that's much faster. So if you have poor nutrition, if your system is weak, if your immune system is weak, if you're toxified, dealing with those holistically takes a lot of time and patience.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas conventional medicine offers something that for many people seem like it's going to be fast. I just take a pill and it's dealt with, and I don't have to worry about it. Whereas holistic means I got to take responsibility, I got to learn a whole bunch of stuff, I got to do this and do that. Now,
I came to holistic, diet.
Right, I got to change. And I came to holistic medicine because I literally was politically in a situation where I couldn't access conventional medicine. It wasn't safe. So the question for me is, what can I do on my own? And that's when I fell into old-timey recipes, among other things. And that it wasn't until I could afford to work with you that I then, I really discovered all the different things you could do. And I really got into learning more about holistic. But I would say holistic takes more responsibility, more time, and more staring in the middle and in the mirror and real changing. But it works, and it's also in many, many cases much more economic than conventional.
Especially in the long run, yeah.
Right. And conventional, so for example, surgery. My father was a surgeon. Surgery has risk. So if you can deal with something holistically as opposed to going into surgery, you avoid those risks, because when surgery goes wrong, it can go very, very wrong. It can kill you. So holistic is all, to me, is almost always safer than conventional.
Well, just look at the stats and the of several studies. One of the most recent is medical error is the third leading cause of death in the U.S.
Right.
After heart disease and cancer.
Right, and I have to, they're talking about medical error, and I think it's, how many, it's 250,000 a year? Some enormous
number.
Well,
Barbara Starfield said about 106,000, but I'm sure, there are different categories, too. I mean, if you look at, if you really look at medical error that doesn't cause death, then you can look at serious illnesses that are caused by medical error. Wow.
So here's what I see. As I was driving around America, you saw pretty much at the same time three things go up. A justice center, criminal justice center, and then private prisons, and then new hospitals, while all the businesses dramatically increased the amount of aisles going to pharmaceuticals. And you realized, oh, the whole population is being liquidated. You know, the poor folks are going through the prison. If you can get them on illegal drugs, then they'll go through the prisons. If you can get them on pharmaceutical drugs, then they'll go through the hospital. But this is a liquidation model. It was pretty scary to realize how it worked. And my concern on medical error is not what those studies are going to define as medical error, but basically putting people on a treadmill of pharmaceuticals that makes them weaker. You know, their immune systems go down, their toxicity rises, and, you know, particularly once the chemtrails and GMOs started, what I see as I look at the general population in America is you're just seeing steadily toxicity rising and immune systems falling, and the pharmaceuticals facilitate that process. And then everybody gets sick with whatever their particular physical weakness is. And what they don't realize is they're part of an epidemic that is very simple, and it's the same thing. It's a series of inputs that drive their immune system down and their toxicity levels up. And meantime, they're on a treadmill where they keep going to doctors for whatever the symptom of that is.
It's hard to get off that treadmill.
Right.
I was just talking to a client last week who had come back to me from like 12 years ago. Of course, we were all younger then. But I was talking to her about, she was concerned that she's on medications. And so I think she told me she was on like 5 or 6. And so I asked her to list them. And then after 6, she had like 3 more, 4 more. And then during the conversation, she added 2 more. So by the time the conversation was over, she had told me that she was on 12 medications, and she didn't even realize it because, you know, I guess after a point, you know, they just kind of all lumped together. But basically medications take control.
Right.
And I see my job is not to get people off medications, but to help them take control of their health so that eventually they can go to their doctor and reduce the medication and eventually get off the medication. Maybe all of them. I don't know. Maybe this person, maybe she can get off 6 of them, and maybe she'll be able to get off 10 of them. But it's going to take time. It takes time because if something is controlling your body, then you have to, in a sense, train your body to take control back, which means to strengthen your 12 organ systems.
Right.
And that, like you said before, it takes time to build and to rebuild and to detoxify. But I think, you know, I was having this discussion with my husband the other day because he wanted me to give him something and have everything be okay, like with something he was going through. And I said, you know, you got to be okay with the process because, and that's it. The body has its own process, and everybody's process is different. So the timeline is different. But the good news is that you're in the process of becoming healthy. And ultimately, that's really the way it always will be. You know, we're always in the process.
Right. The complaint sometimes I hear about doing things holistically is how much time it takes. But if you look at the time that I am seeing people lose by going into this treadmill of doctor's appointments and drugs, and the cost of that, the time it takes to earn the money to do that is so much more time that I almost can't explain why anybody would, you know, it's like allowing a monster to get a hold of your time and they just steal all of it. So part of this relates to the economics of the money and the time. And one of the things I become so adamant, you know, during my time in the wilderness, I tried every old-timey recipe there was. And what I discovered is a lot of them work. So my attitude is...
What was your time in the wilderness?
So it was basically from 1990. In terms of it not being safe to work with conventional medicine, it was 1998 to 2006.
I see.
And it was funny. I found one MD who would work with me and not keep a record of, you know, of anything we discussed or said. Obviously, they had my name, but... You know, yeah, now with digital records, whew, it's dangerous. So,
right.
So I would try all these old-timey recipes because, you know, I had to do whatever I had to do.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, I found that the most effective strategy was prayer, because prayer would tell me what I needed to try and do. It was amazing. It would just come to you what you needed to do. And there'd be all sorts of help and intervention. But what a lot of the old-timey recipes were the cheapest thing you could do. And so, so iodine is one of my favorite. And, of course, the other favorite I have is one you gave me, which is castor oil packs. And mm-hmm. one of the things I've discovered is all the things before 1998 that I would go to a doctor for, you know, I'd go to the doctor at the drop of a hat. Iodine and castor oil packs will solve 90%. So if I just do those two things, or, you know, I just, you know, lots of water, lots of sleep, and lots of prayer. So water, sleep, prayer, iodine, and castor oil will, you know, say, and I live more than an hour away from any, from any MD. We have a great nurse practitioner where I am, but so it's a big time saver to do the natural ones because I can just do them at home, and I assure you it's very low cost. So anyway, but I think holistic means a whole different way of looking at things, because one of the things that my situation forced me to do is it said, okay, you're on your own. You have to let go of all of this. And I was one of those people who always had fantastic healthcare insurance, disability. You know, I had tons of insurance, and I was very much in the system, and I had to let go of all of that. And I'll never forget the day when I realized, wait a minute, my ancestors have been alive for thousands of years on this planet, and they never had healthcare insurance. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I had an old-timey plantation book on medicine that the original settlers here who came to Tennessee had. That was their healthcare. They had a book on healthcare. It was plantation healthcare. You did it yourself. Yeah. And I finally realized, wait a minute, you know, they've made it all the way through the centuries without all this stuff. And it was like coming out of a trance. It took a couple years, but I finally realized, wait a minute, you know, I can't trust this system and I have to take responsibility.
So I was just going to flip the coin a little bit and say one of the pros of conventional medicine, because you were just talking about the early settlers, well, they didn't have a very long lifespan.
Right, exactly.
And that's one of the pros of conventional medicine, and that's the ER, the life-saving, you know, whether it's life-saving techniques, drugs, surgery, you know, that thing that breathes life into the person again,
right,
so that they can go on from that point. And it could be a stopgap measure. It could be looked at that way. Okay, wake up call. I really have to take care of myself, really, not just continue on this.
Well, if you look at my history, I would have been dead on numerous occasions if it wasn't for conventional medicine. So mm-hmm. I would have been dead from an from an appendicitis. I would have been dead probably from, I had to have a tonsillectomy when things got really bad. You know, I can go on and on and on. And of course, I've never been in a serious car accident, but look at all the trauma situation. My grandfather, my family are all doctors. So my grandfather was brought antibiotics to Tennessee. He worked with, we had another cousin who was a state legislator, and together they worked to bring antibiotics into Tennessee. So, you know, I do everything I can not to take an antibiotic, but when you desperately need it, it's a lifesaver.
Mm-hmm.
So, Anyway, so yeah, so I would be dead many times over if it wasn't for conventional medicine. And that's why I think it's so important to understand what the strengths are of the two systems and to use them together well and economically. Because if you're not careful, you can get harvested by both systems and your economics can be destroyed by both systems if you don't know how to navigate them.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the biggest problem that our subscribers run into. Most of the Salary Report subscribers are amazingly responsible people. They are willing to, you know, they love to learn. They will figure it out, and they will learn holistic medicine. They will learn conventional. They will learn how to navigate the systems. However, they've got somebody in their family who is absolutely dedicated to doing things, particularly in the conventional system, that you know, scare them to death. So their spouse wants to get on the treadmill and is literally dying in front of them, and they can't talk them out of the treadmill. So they can't talk them out of 12 pharmaceuticals, or they can't talk them out of going through chemotherapy. They can't talk them out. You know, they're very stuck. Whatever the doctor says is fine. And part of the problem is they get into doctors who really can't help them. You know, because there are many wonderful conventional doctors who will help you focus on nutrition or more whole system things. What do you do when... I run into this a lot with subscribers who are scared to death about heavy schedules of vaccines and for the grandchildren, and their kids are doing heavy schedules of vaccines. And of course, the grandparent knows it's going to cost $5 million if you get a heavily autistic kid, and the grandparents are going to be on the hook because that's who's got the money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an economic issue. What do you do when the family is very... You know, one is willing to take responsibility and learn and practice family health care independence, and somebody else isn't?
Well, of course, there's no one answer to that. I've certainly worked with it many, many times because I've worked with a lot of families because I've had a lot of focus on helping kids with attention deficits. And so I ran across the vaccine problem, of course, and now, having been from California, where it's now mandatory, and people are actually leaving the state to avoid that. But as far as family is concerned, it's really common for me to see when I'm working with a family, the husband and wife don't necessarily agree on what the child, you know, should have, and I personally, I have my own way of working with it. You know, I talk to both of them and almost kind of like be a mediator and try to explain. I mean, I'm always for the holistic and try to explain with logic. It's like the problem is that emotion comes into play. So, and of course, I mean, you're working with your family, you're trying to, you know, agree, and there's emotion. So a logic kind of goes out the window with that. In fact, fear is usually the first thing that comes in. So I think dispelling the fear, getting educated about whatever it is, and learning to ask questions. See, that's the thing. Learning to ask questions and, you know, to question authority. And not to be, a rebel, or I mean, nothing wrong with being a rebel, but not just to be a rebel, but to really question the authority, the doctor, and find out deeper reasons for things, and not just take it at face value. So I'll give you a quick example. I was talking to my mom. My mom's 84, and she was having a problem. And she didn't want to tell me. And she said, it's just really little. I didn't tell you, because she knows I will I'll dig in. And she looks at her doctor as the authority. She admires me, and she utilizes, you know, products from me, and she takes my advice most of the time. But this time she just wanted to go forward with the scope that she was getting. She was getting scoped on something. And so she said she came home from it and she called me. I just want you to know this is what I did. And I said, well, what did they say? Well, he didn't really say anything. He's a very quiet man. And I said, Mom, what do you mean? This is your body. You can ask, what are you seeing? What was the result? Well, he said he was going to see me in a month, so I just assume that everything's probably okay. And he gave me these two medications. I said, Mom, you're not on any medications. She's been, you know, I've been so proud, right, you know, that she's healthy enough. She's at 84. She's on no meds. And she said, well, it's just for a little while. And so I sat down and I wrote out a list of questions that I want her to ask. Anyway, that's just, I mean, that was an easy situation compared to what a lot of people go through. But anyway, what do you think about what I just said?
Well, there seems to be and you know, John Rappaport, your husband, has written some of the greatest stuff on this. There seems to be, and I think it's an authority reaction, where suddenly the brain stops and we just start doing what we're told. So when I was a young adult, the word in the medical community in and around my father was, the worst patient to have is a doctor's child because they know. And they ask questions and they don't believe a thing. My father used to come home from a day, you know, of surgery and say, look, if you have surgery, I want you to get a local anesthesia. I want you to watch what's going on.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, he said, well, mm-hmm. Why, Daddy? And he'd say, because, you know, you want to make sure they're cutting on the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think you're, you know, they don't mistake you for a different patient. So, you know, we would get all the horror. We would get all the horror stories. And of course, we were always trained. I'm very big, and we have several Salieri reports on healthcare proxies with a wonderful attorney, Joe Klein Severhar. You know, we were trained to, if we were not able to navigate the system because we were out cold, you know, somebody else better have the authority and the power to do it. You know, again, conventional medicine can be very powerful. You know, surgery, you can be, you know, if you're in surgery, you can be under anesthesia, et cetera. And I always tell you the story about a dear friend of mine. Her niece had her healthcare proxy. I was the trustee on her money. And together, we were two food dogs. And we went through a period of 10 years where we were sort of walking her through cancer therapy. Unfortunately, she went conventional. And unfortunately, she wouldn't stop taking vaccines, which I think was the combination was lethal. But she stayed alive for much, much longer because every time she went into the hospital and they tried to churn her, we were there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll never forget the final time someone in the emergency room got her to say that she was depressed. They asked her if she was depressed, and she said yes. Well, from then on, the psychiatric guys would show up with a string of interns trying to put her on psychotropic drugs, and we wouldn't let them. And they said, well,
oh,
she's
wow.
depressed, so she needs Valium or, you know, whatever. I said, of course she's depressed. She's dying. That's a healthy reaction to no more drugs. And it was funny because literally you had all these different rotations, the cardiologist rotation, the psychiatric rotation. Every rotation in the hospital was trying to get her to say yes to something so that they could show up and give her a drug, and that would put them, you know, they would charge thousands of dollars to just walk in and check every day for 5 minutes. And it was like churning a stock portfolio. And we were two food dogs, and we would stop it. We wouldn't let it happen. And I can't tell you what a difference it made to her health that we were there and we were trained. And we had the legal powers. It was like warring with an insurance company. It was like going through litigation. And it's a very legalistic system. And so we knew how to navigate that system. And, of course, she got great health care in certain instances from that system. But, again, it goes back to having the knowledge and the ability. And and understanding that you have to take charge. You're the one who's responsible for your health. You know you. And if you look at the economics of where the health system has gone, most of these people do not, they're not paid to get to know you. They can't, there's no way economically they can get, they don't have time. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you look at my relationship with you over the years, you've had time to get to know me. And so I've known you for 10 years and it's a little bit, you know, so we have an accumulated knowledge through relationship, but it is taken, you know, you have got to make that, if you want a healthcare practitioner who has a relationship with you and understands you, then you've got to pay for that and you've got to make that possible and you've got to give the time. You're investing in a relationship and you've got to invest in those relationships if it's really going to work. So now on the back to the family, I would just say, The way to have your family get into alignment and agreement about this is, for heaven's sakes, do not marry somebody who disagrees with you on this. You do not want to have a child with somebody who's committed to heavy, heavy schedules of vaccines, because, you know, unfortunately, the guy who's committed to heavy schedules of vaccines when your child becomes heavily autistic is more than likely to take off and leave you with it. You know, I hate to be brutal, but that's the facts. And so get alignment before you get into a relationship, because this is a very important aspect. But if you can't, what you need to do is you need to start working on building healthcare literacy and independence way before anybody gets sick. I mean, one of the saddest things I've ever seen is a relative gets cancer, you know, and they're down the conventional treatment and they finally realize, oh, they need to learn holistic, and they come to me and they say, what can I read? Well, if you look at how much time it takes to read things and to learn and to change your mental paradigm, you know, that can take time. So
don't
wait to get literate. You know, it's like getting hired on a job and then you're going to learn how to read. No, you need to know how to read before you. So I would say, if you care, I'm just going to talk as an investment advisor. If you care about your family wealth, then as a family, you need to start working on healthcare independence steadily as a process now, because that is the number one risk to your financial wealth, is not taking care of your health and taking care of it economically. And taking care of it in a way that you can't be harvested.
Well, that's a good point. And you know that conventional and holistic health care are not mutually exclusive. You can be right in the conventional medical system and still work on yourself and be in control of your body. And I obviously that's what you were talking about before, the best of both worlds. One of the things that I've seen, I actually experienced this in my own family, is that sometimes when you're in a critical situation, though you may be holistic and have been living that way for years, all of a sudden this big fear thing comes up and you find yourself confronted with making a decision to use conventional medicine and choose it. I couldn't believe it happened in my family, but I don't know why I couldn't believe it. At the time, I couldn't believe it. Now I look back and I see, well, of course, it all makes sense. It's just part of being a human being, you know. But the word unconditional love comes to mind, because sometimes you just have to be with whatever the person is resonating with, and who's to say, right, who's anyone else to say that what they're resonating with isn't going to work, because a person can't do what they don't feel in their gut is right.
Right.
I think, you know, so it's just a combination of all those things. Getting educated, really understanding the logic of the body. And, I mean, I don't mean you have to be a scientist or anything, but being able to monitor your body, understanding that, you know, what you put in it becomes you. You're built from what you eat and what you think, and your environment, and I think if you have those basic ideas, you can use conventional medicine for the best of what it offers.
Right. So let's turn, I know you have a 12-month program to help families create healthcare independence, and I think this is a really valuable thing for a family to do. So I just wanted to walk through it and walk through the most important features of what you do as part of that program, because it really helps us understand what we've got to do if we're going to be healthcare independent. So just step us through.
Yeah. You know, I've been in practice for 30 years, and it's funny because you use the word practice, and that's really what you're doing. You keep practicing, and you keep getting better, and you keep getting better. You weed things out that don't work anymore. And I think I got to the point where I realized that I just want to be an educator.
Right.
And guide people to whatever is best for them. And I guess my goal is to help people become their own sovereign entity, you know, so they have the power, you know, they are the ultimate, and they can decide what, you know, for a family, it's usually the mom, but sometimes it's both parents, and sometimes it's the dad, but and then for the individual, you know, what are the things that are going to create a healthy body, a healthy mind? Again, going to be different for different people, but from my perspective, I like to help people learn how to read their body. I think that's probably the number one most important thing. And that's, you know, listening to the gurgling in your stomach and figuring out what was it that I just ate, the pain that's shooting up your calf, you know, where you're standing on it the day before too much. I notice these things more as I get older because I never had any little inklings like that before, but I'm 64 and I just notice things more. But helping people hear the noises, you know, listen to what's in their head, see what's on their skin, see what's in the toilet, whatever, you know, whatever it is, and help them decide what to do with all that. So there are certain, I call them home tests, that I like to teach people how to use, so they have their own markers that they know how to determine what does it mean if my pH is 5. You know, that type of thing. The other thing that I like to do, and I'm noticing this with, I have a certain amount of clients that I speak to maybe once or twice a year. And usually they'll come to me because they just had, you know, a test, or they want to understand what's happening. They want my take on something. They probably have a, you know, family doctor or something that, and then they use me as, okay, let me get the logic from Laura now, you know.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important for people to understand their tests. You know, it's a pretty daunting to look at, you know, 5 pages of medical jargon, you know. And so what I do is I go through with them to understand what does this mean, what does that mean. I'm not diagnosing, they're not diagnosing, we're just understanding, you know, what is the creatinine, you know, and
right.
What does it mean if my white blood count is high, and, you know, that type of thing, because the longer I've been in business, the more I see that out-of-range test scores are not reported to the patient, because I think doctors are so used to seeing certain things out of range, even maybe just a little bit high or a little bit over or a little bit under, still out of range, but they don't necessarily say anything because they're so used to seeing it. To them, it's not like, oh, this person doesn't have a disease, so I don't have to, you know, really do anything here. But the person could be sent home anemic, and the child or the individual would not know it.
Right.
Because a lot of these out-of-range test scores have become so common. So anyway, I like to help people understand what the writing means. They can go back to their doctors and then, you know, they can either present it to them or, I know, sometimes doctors don't really
Is it possible, Laura, for somebody to learn how to arrange for and read their tests without going to the doctor?
Yeah, you know, I was gonna say, directlabs.com. Directlabs.com. You can order your own blood tests, and you could. They have other tests too. I think they have urine. I think they have salivary. They have different tests. Although some of their tests are more expensive, the blood work is not expensive. It's very, very economical. And the way it works is you order your test. If anybody wanted to know, they could ask me what type of test they would want to order. But the general wellness profile, I think they call it CWP or something, it's basically what you would get done for a physical exam. It's a full blood panel with the CBC, metabolic panel, CBC, and basic thyroid. And it's like $97 or something. And then they just, you know, print out a requisition form, and then they, if you go to the website, they tell you what lab is near you that you can just go and get your blood drawn. So, yeah, even right. That could be, you know, in your control.
See, one of the things you taught me that has helped tremendously is regular testing. And, you know, you need a feedback. If you're going to be healthy, you need a feedback system. And so just regular testing. I was shocked when we started doing the heavy metal tests. And I realized how toxic I was. So I just thought I was being, you know, lazy or there's something wrong with you. You're not working hard enough. Mush. So I just think getting educated about how to test, as you said, home testing and then using something like Direct Lab and being able to read it yourself. I mean, that is very, very powerful for independence.
Being able to read it yourself and then the next year, being able to compare it to the year before and seeing if a pattern is starting to develop, you know, it's so empowering to have that in the palm of your hands.
Now, there's also testing by various kinds of machines.
I love the biofeedback testing.
Right.
I mean, there are various forms of biofeedback, and actually, it's not really a test, it's an assessment, because there's no diagnostic capability with it. But, you know, we're just all an accumulation of ourselves and our environment and our thoughts, and I think when you look at biofeedback assessments, you're able to see what is that accumulation, what has accumulated, you know?
Right.
And it's really helpful for being able to look at what's beneath the surface of a diagnosis, because diagnoses don't just fall out of the sky. You know, it's like it takes years to build a disease. Right. And it's usually a combination of your stressors and your genetics and your infections and your diet and your things that create inflammatory processes. That's what diseases are. So if you can just break it down, then, you know, that is such a really important point. And we're going back to talking about families that disagree or spouses that disagree. It's breaking down whatever it is that's going on, like just having a discussion. Okay, let's have a discussion about this heart disease or whatever it is, and look at all of the components of a disease. Like what is the, you know, what's the foundation? You know, how do you build on that to create a disease? And then you could start to see that diseases are just names. Yes, stuff has happened. You know, body's in a certain, you know, situation. But if you can look at one aspect and then the other aspect and just all the four corners or the different aspects of it, you can start to work on a condition and basically tear it apart limb by limb.
Right. Well, you know, on the statistics, I always say that America's dying of a broken heart. And so it's true if you look at the numbers. America's dying of a broken heart. And if you look at all the different things that happen during the day, there's a lot going on to break your heart. One of my favorite scriptures is guard your heart. Anyway, I want to run through the different aspects of your 12-month program quickly. We have a great, one of course is detox, and we have a great Soleri report that you did for us on detox. And I really encourage people, because I find a lot of this is just about making sure you don't get toxic. And the environmental pollution in America is rising and is much greater than people realize. So
I hope in that conference call that we did on detox, I don't remember if I brought up the point that there is a macro level of detox and there's a micro level of detox. In other words, we detoxify every day, you know, what we eliminate through the bowels, you know, through the kidneys, through the skin, the lymph, etc. We're always in contact with toxins, so we always have to be detoxifying through our normal, you know, exits, the doors that release the fluids. But there's still the micro level of toxic, not necessarily overload, but the holding on of toxins, and that is in the cells. So inspiring the release on the micro level of toxins is done, it's much more subtle. It's done with homeopathics and other things too. I think even you could probably pray or your thoughts
right.
could actually inspire release at that level, because that level is so governed by the electromagnetic field.
Right.
So that's really important, and that is one of the major topics that we talk about in the year program, or if someone just wants to do a detox or something, that can be arranged also. But I think that is overlooked in a lot of the conventional detox programs.
Right. Then you have something called creating your family medicine cabinet.
I love this. I love it. First of all, I really do, because this is, you know, it being your own sovereign healthcare, you know, being in having healthcare independence, you need to have tools. It's like anything else. You know, it's a job. You got to have your
right.
skills. You got to have your tools. So
right.
the tools, some of the tools, I think, are in your medicine cabinet, which, by the way, is not in the bathroom.
Right.
I mean, I think it's ridiculous.
Mine's in the kitchen.
It's in the kitchen.
Right.
I walked into one of my friend's bathrooms the other day, and I saw all his supplements and everything, and I'm thinking, these are all foods. What are they doing in the bathroom? It's having at your fingertips, like you said before, Catherine, your castor oil, you know, your fresh castor oil, your fresh organic castor oil, your cotton or your wool flannel for making the pack, having your iodine, you know, having whatever it is. I would help a person sort of customize their medicine cabinet, or a family.
Right.
I guess medicine probably isn't the right word, but customize their health cabinet. So that they have at their fingertips what they need if somebody gets diarrhea, if someone has an infection, something, an ozone cream for the skin, for maybe a cut or something, you know, just whatever it is that is needed that you can go to, and very possibly not have to go to the doctor because you've handled it yourself. I think part of the problem with the amount of money that's spent or needed in the conventional medical system is because people don't know how to use the old folk remedies anymore and the
right.
old-timey recipes you were talking about.
Right.
And they're going to the doctor for little things that they could actually handle on their own.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Tools for stress relief, because I do think, you know, on the theory guard your heart, stress relief is extremely important, and folks are often carrying way too much stress.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fact of life. I always say to people, I can't reduce your stress, it can only help you handle it better. But it's kind of like less stress begets less stress. High stress begets more high stress. You know,
right.
It's sort of an energetic thing. And so working with the adrenal glands, they're your stress-relieving organs, and they communicate with the stress hormones, the stress neurotransmitters in the brain. So the brain and the adrenals have kind of like a network. It's like a two-way street going on there. And so that can help quite a bit with stress relief, getting those in balance. And then most people have some kind of stress relief exercise or know some kind of stress relief exercises. Some people do yoga. Some people do breathing. My husband is a huge advocate of breathing exercises. He actually teaches
right.
people how to do that. And you know, I wrote this thing in the outline for you. I wrote vacation. Somebody had to remind me because it's not even in my consciousness. Somebody had to remind me that I haven't taken a vacation in like I don't know how many years. And that last vacation, it was 10 years before that I had a vacation. Do you take vacations, Catherine?
You know, I like to take vacations. I haven't been taking vacations, but the one thing I can say in my defense, I do, you know, I turned what I love into a business. So I do what I love, and I also, because of doing what I love, I travel all over the place.
That's true.
So,
you're always on the move.
Yeah, so
you don't have
I
to get away
having,
from something.
No,
you know,
I'm
like
doing, you know, I'm doing, yeah, so
uh-huh.
I wouldn't say that my life is one long vacation, but it's it's very different when you do what you love, and you know, I'm my own boss, so I go where I want when I want.
Yeah, I'm more in that camp now than I ever have been in my life. I was a maniac, a maniacal worker, and, yeah, I don't know. I've found some sense of balance after so many years of being on my own treadmill. And even as a nutritionist and in my work, I was crazy. But
right.
I have really found more of a sense of personal peace. I'm sleeping better. Well, I also moved, so I'm living more with nature than ever. That certainly helps.
Right.
But anyway, people can find their own personal growth practice. I encourage it. I suggest things to release the old thought forms, because old thought forms also keep, you know, diseases and conditions where they are. And when you start changing your thought forms, your body starts to change.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so whatever it is, you know, if a person is religious, using that to, you know, maybe even, you know, break the mold or the boundaries of where they have been and into another level of whatever it is that they're doing in their religion. Meditation, and I've found that super successful, super helpful. But yeah,
so there's
so many.
There are many other aspects of what you do in the 12-month program, but let me skip now to knowledge and tools, because I think one of the ways to getting people to understand how much is available and how much they can do for themselves. You know, I'm
mm-hmm.
a great believer in watching documentaries, talking to people about it, just sort of getting an education. And there are a lot of great things that people can access. You know, one way to kick off the family being willing to do something like this is to start watching, I think, great documentaries. And
you're really good at that.
Yeah. We have a lot. If you go back in the annual wrap-up, we have all the Let's Go to the Movies, and there's a whole group of recommendations. In fact, the documentary of the year was Vaxxed, which is on vaccines. Mm-hmm. So, and I just had an amazing, a great ally call me whose spouse was absolutely adamant about you know, everybody's got to get vaccinated. And they got their spouse to sit down and watch Vaxxed. I said, what happened? They said they cried the whole time. And now they realize
oh
I'm
gosh.
Right. It was like, wow, a conversion. Yeah. So those conversions are hard to get. But I think some of the great documentaries, you know, we've had some recent ones that go through, you know, many, many DVDs showing all the different cancer treatments and the success that's been had with more natural or less invasive methods. So I think there's a lot of great things you can do to start getting people educated. You know, if you can get your family to watch one documentary a week or one documentary a month and, you know, start to educate them, I find the ones, you know, so if you look at something like Trace Amounts or Vaxxed, it kind of wakes them up to, wait a minute, you know, we can't necessarily just jump into the system without checking the references and integrity of who we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. Because here's what can go wrong. If you look at what can go wrong, you know, it's one thing to go to a great doctor. It's another thing to go to a doctor who's got a real history of, you know, patient error and patient death from doctor error. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I think that is important. As I said, planning is important. I've already mentioned healthcare proxies, but also having plans on how to deal with emergencies. Emergencies happen. And, you know, I travel a lot by car, so I do a lot to make sure I'm prepared if there's a, you know, and the business is prepared, and we're all prepared if there's a car accident, but I've never had one, knock on wood. I want to talk a little bit more before we close about economics, because one of the reasons I think it's so important that we master the art of holistic medicine is that generally it is much more economic. It is much more economic to understand what to do yourself and to do it if you're willing to take the time to get educated. The big investment is getting educated and learning how to do these different things, or investing in a relationship with someone like you to help you learn, because I'm one of those people who needs a coach and needs guidance on these things.
And most people do.
Yeah, absolutely. So get, you know, invest in getting the independence. But if you can build healthcare independence, then you can handle these things so much more economically. It's just unbelievable.
I think also when people are, you know, have more holistic experience under their belt, they're more empowered. And when they utilize a conventional medical system, they know how to, like you said, navigate better. They know how to ask better questions. And even on an energetic level may attract, you know, a better situation.
Right, because, again, it's, you know, there's a big difference between a very bad holistic practitioner and a very good one, and a very bad doctor and a very good one. Yeah, it's like just arbitrarily going to a hairdresser. They're not all excellent. And, you know, you've got to check recommendations. Just because somebody graduated from medical school doesn't mean they're trustworthy. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, I've seen tremendous debasement in integrity in many different professions all throughout the country. And a lot of it is economics. When professionals are constantly put into a situation where they're squeezed economically, then they can spend less and less time to achieve a result, or less and less time to get to know you. So it's not necessarily their fault, but they're in a system and they're dealing with economics where they, you know, the insurance company is making the money and they can't. It's funny, I have a wonderful doctor who I talk to about once a week. And one of the things he was saying is, you know, you can't get patients to take responsibility and live right or eat right. You know, they've had two surgeries and they're still smoking. I don't know what to do. So the responsibility issue is all round. It's not... We're in an ecosystem and the ecosystem doesn't work. And we're the ones who can take responsibility to build out into a new ecosystem for ourselves that will work, but not everybody's willing to make the change. And you got to be really picky about not letting anybody into your ecosystem who doesn't fit with the idea of you being vibrantly healthy for a long, long time.
Yeah, I mean, that is important to be, you know, to be able to choose wisely. I think what's beneath some of that when people don't choose wisely is the idea of wanting to be fixed. So if somebody wants to be fixed, then they're probably going to choose the conventional medical system. Well, I don't know. I've had a lot of clients who've been wanting to be fixed, but they learn in short order that that's not, you know, that's not what we're about. But when you go into the conventional medical system wanting to be fixed, then you're not a person that's necessarily going to take responsibility. You know, that's going to be that's a long conversation. It's months, maybe years of unlearning. You know, we're basically taught to be fixed. And that's, you know, more and more as each generation is coming, you know, to life. I hope it starts to turn around. I see it turning around. I stay positive on that. It's just so pervasive.
One subscriber, knowing that we were going to do this, called and wanted to know what I thought of functional medicine. Have you heard of the Institute of Functional Medicine?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I was educated by Dr. Jeffrey Bland, who basically coined the term of functional medicine. Functional medicine is an area of holistic medicine. So it basically, most of the people in functional medicine, or if they say they're a functional medicine person, that they're a medical, they're an MD, but you know they've learned how to utilize nutrition and nutritional supplements to change the structure and function in the body. Right. And I mean, you don't have to be a medical doctor to know how to do that. But the Institute of Functional Medicine has started, you know, started with medical doctors, and then it branched out into people like me, you know, PhDs and neurologists and chiropractors and acupuncturists. I've probably been to 50 functional medicine seminars.
Oh, wonderful.
Again, okay. Yes, using food and nutritional supplements to change the function in the body, to learn, how functions can create, what can basically enable prevention.
It's funny, I think we're seeing more and more, both in the conventional system and the holistic system, you know, one group of the more enlightened reaching out and working together, and we're creating a synthesis that will ultimately emerge despite all the efforts of the pharmaceutical industry to stop it.
So good always wins, you know.
Yeah,
good always wins, whatever that is, whether it's holistic or conventional, the good will always win. That's how I look at
it. I just want to close by saying what I see is families that have taken the time and know how to navigate the two systems are just doing terrific. And people who haven't taken that time and are not sort of master of the two systems are just getting churned. And it's a it's a serious health problem, but it's a serious financial problem. And I really appreciate what you do to help people be independent. So before we close, Laura, just explain how do people find you? How do they access you? Walk us again through your website and how to contact you.
Okay, sure. www.scicn.com and 800-608-5602. I'd be happy to sort of give a free like 15-minute overview if somebody wants to know more and figure out if, you know, what avenue they can take with my direction.
Uh-huh.
And I'd be happy to do that.
Okay, one of the things I've always held, you know, found with a situation like this, and I think I did it when we first started to work together, is I put together a little history. I know I, as an investment advisor, people send me a profile before we talk.
Mm-hmm.
So I sort of have a history and a unique understanding. But if they're willing to take the time to put together, you know, what their situation is and what they need, I think a 15-minute conversation with you will help them get a good understanding of what, how you might or might not work together. But I do think, I will say this as an investment advisor, if you want to be financially successful for the next 20 years, you've got to take the leadership on this issue. This is where you're going to get buried if you're not careful. And this is where, if you address this risk, not just for you, but the, you know, the family that you're in, then you will significantly improve your chances of being financially successful. Not just because you'll be healthy and have lots of energy, but because you won't get churned or tricked or preyed upon by the system. So
mm-hmm.
to me, this is an investment issue. It's a financial issue. You know, I'm not a healthcare practitioner. I'm continue to be. Laura's being polite because she knows how ignorant I am. I keep learning.
Oh, that's
I keep
not
learning.
True. Oh my God!
I keep learning.
True,
I keep learning. But I find it, you know, I find it very easy to learn anything about money. So derivatives is not a problem. I find health much harder to learn about. But anyway, but I will just say this is a financial issue, and what I find after being an investment advisor for the last 11 years, this is your number one financial risk. So this is where you'll get tricked. This is where you'll get preyed upon. And if the system doesn't have integrity, this is where it's going to hurt you the worst. So, and I'll never forget the number that really blew me away is that wonderful mother from Vaxxed who said, you know, if you have, and she has a heavily autistic child. I don't know if you remember the story, but she had two kids. She went to the doctor. The first was vaccinated and it was so bad that the second child refused to take it and she didn't make her. And of course, the first child is now heavily autistic and the other is, you know, wildly successful. And it's a heartbreaking comparison. Mm-hmm. And but what she said in one of the panels I watched after Vaxxed, they did a showing, is she said, you know, you can calculate it's going to cost $5 million for a heavily autistic child to see them through to end of life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have to tell you, for most families, a $5 million expense resulting from vaccine injury wipes them out financially. It destroys the family and it destroys their finances. And so one vaccine injury and that's it. And right, but there's no recompense unless you can get something into the vaccine courts and that could take years and who knows what you get. So, you know, this is very serious finances here. And, you know, if you have a car accident and you get in a hospital and nobody's got your healthcare proxy and they make a mistake, you know, that could be another $1 million or your life. So this is very serious financial issues are involved here. So I'll just make my, I don't mean to terrify you.
No.
But this is a place where a good investment of your time to build healthcare independence can really make an enormous difference to your finances. And I am so tired, Laura, of seeing people churned and preyed upon by the system through their healthcare fears. So I'll stop beating the drum now. Yeah, I know.
No, I just want to say in closing that, you know, with the financial contribution, the taking the responsibility and creating a strong body, a balanced mind, and, it, you know, it all can lead to a life of creativity, of fulfillment, of productivity, of happiness. I mean, that's pretty much what we all want.
You can be vibrantly healthy. That's our plan. Every Soliri subscriber is vibrantly healthy. And denying harvest to the system.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, free and inspired life. Laura Thompson, Dr. Laura Thompson, thank you very much for joining us on the Soliri Report.
Thank you, Catherine. It was dynamite.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.